The wise old man, King Lemuel, said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her prize is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Good advice. Probably says a lot of things about, hopefully, most all of your moms who are here this morning. I want to talk for just a very few minutes about one particular mom in the Word of the Lord. And she had a rather unusual experience. And in connection with her experience, one of the wise old writers of the Word of the Lord said, "It is better to not make a vow than to make a vow unto the Lord and not repay." That's something that each one of us probably need to give a lot of consideration to. I suspect that many mothers here have prayed as sons and daughters, and I guess, Mark, we boys have more of a tendency to be a problem than girls are. I don't know. I've just...
Amen to that.
Yeah. I've known some pretty tough girls, so... I thought you'd say amen to that too, but you didn't. but they probably have prayed many, many times that we don't know about, and probably have never comprehended what we were going to turn out to be. Some probably, I guess I should break off from that and just speak of my own mom. And I'm sure she had to be disappointed that I turned out to be a preacher. That's not a very highly esteemed thing to be. I know that. I mean, I read the scriptures, so I know what that is. But I have always appreciated that she never tried to mold me and make me into what she wanted me to be. I was amused the other day, and she did this. My mom was an identical twin, for those of you who might not know. And as an identical twin, her father, because he raised her, her mother died when she was 6 years old, I believe it was 6 or 7. And so basically her father raised her, but as an identical twin, they dressed them alike back in those days. And so when mom had boys come along, what she bought for me, she bought for Lee, dressed us alike. And then I noticed when Mike and Dwight came along, what she bought for Dwight, she bought for Mike and dressed them alike. Now that's the only thing I know of that my mom ever tried to dictate what we were going to be, you know. And I'm thankful that she allowed us then to turn out to be whatever we turned out to be. And it was okay with her. I'm sure, as Teresa said, there probably were a lot of times she wasn't very pleased with us or very happy about some of the things that we've done. I know she wasn't with me. I mean, you know, I can truthfully stand here today and tell you that my wife turned out to be her favorite daughter-in-law. I say that kiddingly. I don't know that. But I'll guarantee you when I first took her as my wife, it wasn't her favorite daughter-in-law. She did not want anything to do with her, and it was not a good situation. So that had to improve over time. But that's a part of life too. I want to get back, because I've got just a little bit of time here. This lady in the Word of the Lord had been barren. She had not been able to have a child. And it bothered her. It bothered her to the extent that she just simply was obsessed with the fact that God had not granted her the privilege of being a mother. And her husband kept trying to reassure her, it's okay, it's okay. You know, I have children by my other wife. Now we're back in Old Testament. And you know, that's okay, but it wasn't all right with her because she wanted to have a child. She wanted to give her husband a child too. And God had not permitted it. And so the Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Lord, if you will just give me a son, if you'll just give me a son, I will promise you that I will give him unto you all the days of his life. I'll make that commitment. Now, I've, over the years, had the experience of dealing with a lot of people who make a lot of commitments unto the Lord when they're in a time of trouble or crisis. Lord, I'll do this, Lord, Lord, everything. But as soon as it's over, they've forgotten what they vowed unto the Lord. Let me tell you something. You better be careful what you commit unto the Lord, because he's going to hold you accountable. Don't you think for a minute. I'm not one of these preachers who gets up here and says, you just go out here and do whatever you want to, and all you got to do is just say, Lord, I'm sorry, and everything's okay. He's a God of love, and he'll just forgive you. Let me tell you something. Sin always has a price to be paid. For saved and unsaved alike, there's a difference how the payments are applied and when they happen, but I'll guarantee you there's still a price. And so don't you think as a child of God that you are exempt from paying your vows unto the Lord when you make them. She made a vow unto the Lord. Hannah is her name. That if you'll just give me a child, I will commit him unto the Lord. I want you to listen to someone. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now, Eli's the priest. And he hears her. He watches her. He sees what's going on here. Now, I want you to notice. He says, and now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. You know, too many times when people are praying, and we're talking about mothers praying, not all the praying mamas do are out loud. All the praying that we do, over the years, probably the most oft criticism I've ever received was that I didn't pray enough. Now, what they were meaning was is that in the church service, they were accustomed to having several prayers. You know, now we have two or three here, max. But I hope that's not all the praying you're doing. If that's all the praying you're doing, you're in big trouble. If that's all the praying I was doing, I'd be in big trouble. So just because we only pray in the opening and pray over the offering and pray at the end of the service, and a lot of times I only pray at the end of the service. That doesn't mean that you're just not supposed to be praying. Besides, if all the praying you're doing is what can be heard, we're still in big trouble. Because praying is not from the lips, but from the heart. And so Hannah, as she's here, she's praying. Her lips are moving, but there's no sound coming out that Eli can hear, but it's coming from her heart. And she's talking to the Lord. And that's who we need to be talking to. I used to have a deacon in the church when I was pastoring, and he prayed the same prayer every time. And I could call on him to pray, and I could just be standing, and I could just be going right along with him on every word that he was going to say. I already knew two words ahead what he was going to be saying. Sometimes we get a little bit in that rut of where that our praying is that way. Now, I don't even know why I'm saying some of these things, because that wasn't what I intended to say this morning. But it's okay, because I think sometimes we need to be reminded. Therefore, Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. The priest here says, you know, this old gal's drunk. So how much longer are you going to go before you quit that drinking and put it away from you? Ah, she wasn't drunk. Her heart was heavy. And from her heart she was speaking unto the Lord, who hears and sees and knows what's in our heart. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Oh, I'm not drunk. I poured out my heart before the Lord. The Lord hears her. He answers her prayer and gives her a baby boy. She has a little son. She did not forget what she had vowed unto the Lord. And right after this child is born, it's time for them to go up to offer up the annual offerings that was required of the people of that time. And so her husband says to her, come on, Hannah, it's time for us to go. She says, no, the child has not yet been weaned. And I won't go until he's old enough to be weaned, because I have promised him unto the Lord. Now, I want you mamas to listen to this. I promised him to the Lord. When the child then was weaned, the next time she goes up, she takes with her this little guy. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Can you imagine? Prayed for years to have a child. Had made a vow unto the Lord that when that child, he would just give her a son, she would give him unto the Lord. Notice what she said. "I'm going to loan him to the Lord." Yeah. She didn't give him away. She loaned him to the Lord. All of his life, this child grew up to be one of the greatest people that lived during his time. A man who became a spokesman for the Lord. A man whom the people looked to and respected as he performed in the office which he held. His name was Samuel. Samuel grew up in the house of Eli. Grew up to become the man whom God spoke to time and again. Whom God spoke to speak unto the people. And remember, whenever the people were saying, "Oh, we want a king, we want to be like everybody else. We don't want these leaders that God has given us. We want to be like other people." And Samuel said, "You know what will happen? I'm going to tell you what God has said will happen if you get a king." "Oh, we don't care, we don't care." Samuel gave them their request. Samuel had the privilege of going out then and anointing the first king of Israel. But he also had then the burdensome responsibility of going to that same man and saying unto him, "You have failed to carry out the commandments and the instructions of the Lord, and you no longer will be the king, and the Lord has chosen someone else to take your place." This is the same man who went down and said, "Are all thy children here?" And the father said, "All saving the youngest." "Go get him. I've got to anoint him to be king." The same man who was to go out and take and slay a person that he should not have been responsible for. But I can only imagine his mama as she watched him all through his life and how many times she must have prayed for this son that she had loaned unto the Lord. Mamas, your sons and your daughters are a blessing which God has given unto you. He's loaned them to you for a little while. Yeah. And you have the privilege of seeing them as they fulfill their place in life. And I hope that each of us are not too big a disappointment to our mamas. And as I look over this congregation, and as Bart has said, this is a good family right here. This is a good people. And I so appreciate each one of you. And I would say probably every one of your mamas say, "I'm pretty proud of you. I'm pretty proud of you." You may not have set the world on fire. You may not have become famous. You may never have done anything outstanding. But you're my son, my daughter, and I'm thankful for you. And then I hope in turn as a son or as a daughter that we can say, "Mom, thank you. Thank you. I love you." Close this. Some of you have heard me say this. My mom was never able to say, "I love you" first. And that was just a thing we didn't say. We knew it, but we didn't say it. Now, that's different than that was in our household. But Mom would always, I'd say, Mom, I love you. And Mom would always say, I love you too. That was her response. She'd always come back. She could say it that way, but she didn't initiate it. I never heard my mom, my dad say, I love you to each other, but I know they loved each other. And so I've always just had a practice, and I preach it all the time. We need to say to one another once in a while, I love you. I love you. People need to hear it. We need to say it. I mean that. So that's why I said earlier, if your mom's still here, let her know you love her. You may hear her say, as my mom would say, I do you too. But that's okay. I know that my mom loved me.